I will wear a jersey designed for shoulder pads without shoulder pads. I will draw the line before I put on a Crippled System cheerleader outfit.
Depends what I get out of it. David, I think, is being pointed at, or maybe it's in between David.
Okay, now I'm being pointed at.
When I'm looking at the video, I'm actually pointing at Nathan.
Are you giving me a ear? I'm getting a wet willy.
I'm not actually going to put my ear in Nathan's ear. I don't know where that ear is, but your ear in my ear? I'm not going to put my finger in your ear.
Welcome to episode 250, ear sex.
I don't know where my ear has been.
Has been?
Is, was, will be. I have no knowledge of my ears.
Should I do this intro? I didn't put up the chat.
It still says it's episode 250. Is that accurate?
It is episode 250.
Not a prime number, obviously.
Yeah. Correct. No. We're just putting up chat. So, hey, welcome to Crippled System.
Times five,
episode
times
250.
38 more episodes and I get to make my joke.
38?
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to make it.
Just 38 more episodes. I got a joke ready for it.
It's another year.
Math
jokes. I mean, it's basically going to be another year of that.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. So in another 38 weeks, I get to make a math joke.
You now have a reason to live.
Yeah. That and spite. I have three total reasons to live.
Math joke, spite, and...
defiling Mitch McConnell's grave.
Yeah.
Oh, is he dead yet?
No.
Which is why I'm still alive.
Harkening back to an earlier conversation that describes a significantly large proportion of our circle of friends.
Yeah.
But seriously, fuck him.
Yeah. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 250 of your friendly neighborhood Crippled System podcast show. My name is Nathan.
My name is Andy.
And I'm Dave.
And I'm Dan.
I
cut off Nathan. I feel bad.
No, I was done. I was done. I was slipping into NPR mode.
We change too often.
I've been pretty consistently playing Northern Realms. Although, man, how about that legendary kegs event 2 days ago, right? Because I finally got Hyman Coral through that, so I can make a Skellige deck. True story.
I played Hearthstone for a little bit.
Yeah,
the bomb thing is good. Actually, I really like it. They have like the goofy puzzles that you have to solve.
No,
I only did one part of it. So
I like those. Those are interesting to me. Magic the Gathering first came out, whatever Magic's magazine was, always had one of those like on the last page. Well, I guess not the last page.
Oh, like
the last page was on the price guy. But
the
it's like,
can you play out of this?
You have one hit point. Mm-hmm. Here's your cards. Win the game.
Yeah, and that's basically how at least the first part of the expansion is for the Boom Dr. Boom thing for Hearthstone. It was kind of fun.
And No Quarters had those too. Mm-hmm. I remember the last one. I remember from No Quarter, you were supposed to do like this big convoluted thing, just noticed that Shay could just walk forward and shoot and win. Like, they had all these puzzle pieces, and you're like, move, shoot, win, average dice.
Or if you want to be cool, move, shoot, Commodore Cannon, win.
Yeah, well, I think the Commodore Cannon was, like, supposed to slam your own guy over something to knock it down, and then you two-handed throw. Like, they tried to make it convoluted, and they're like, wait, Shay has a gun, and he's close enough.
should we go over quickly what we play?
No.
No?
Mostly Northern Realms right now.
No.
Yeah. I think I play Protectorate.
You don't play Brutality anymore?
Well, I've been mixing between Brutality and Tactics.
Oh, Tactics is obviously the correct build to go by. Are you shitting me?
I did.
Brutality
is obviously
garbage.
The correct, but it is the least fun.
So true. The correct thing to do is only unlock Death Orbs and Ice Bows and then do Tactics. And I saw a guy kill the Hand of the King in like 2 seconds because he just dropped two Death Orbs on top of him. It was hilarious. He didn't even get to mode change. Just melted him.
I have not gotten the Death Orb unlocked yet. So
yeah,
it takes up like your whole screen and it just inches forward and does like a billion damage per frame. It's just this. It is a Death Orb. It breaks the game.
And it's a skill you can have two of.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It's a shoulder button skill and it's purple. And you just go bleh. Like literally, he just dropped two on top of the Hand of the King and it was gone.
It was really fun. I went with a full on Brutality build where I took just ice and fire grenades. And holy shit, that's actually not bad when you're able to just toss ice and fire grenades every 2 seconds out at things.
Yep.
And then have a crazy kick-ass weapon as well.
Yeah.
And have an ice bow, just to have an ice bow, because all of those equipped are negative damage taken.
Yes, yeah, the negative damage.
And good nobody cares how much damage you do with your ice bow anyway.
Yeah, although the issue is with bosses is that they build up resistance to elemental effects as you fight them. Yeah. And so when you try to build based on stuns and freezes and fires and bleeds, it does not work for bosses, which is it's a shame currently with the design of the game, but that's fine.
Yeah,
you have to build differently for bosses than you do for everybody else. And that doesn't work because it's not like you can change your gear before the boss.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Well, I kind of wish you had like a closet or a chest that you can use in the game so you can swap out gear or store. Like, I got this one bow that's amazing and I just want to store it.
Sure.
But the game would just be absolutely broken. Well, it's broken after I get Death Orb anyway.
Oh, it is very broken after you get Death Orb.
I mean, to a point, because the slows from the ice bow works on most of the bosses, at least partially.
It 100% works the first time you hit them.
Yeah.
And then it 50% works the second time, and then so on and so forth. And so because the bosses have such inordinately large pools of health, until you get like up to the 3-4 cell difficulty levels where you're just doing a billion damage a nanosecond, because they have damage caps and they build up the resistance, and so they just become a slog fighting those bosses. But Death Orb gets around those damage caps because it doesn't do a single big chunk of damage like a bow or a sword does. It does a billion paper cuts. True story.
I need to get a Death Orb. Yeah. I've gotten most
who drops it?
In it so far.
I don't remember.
I can actually look it up.
Yeah, you can find it. But yeah, when you get Death Orb, the glory of Death Orb is a thing.
Yeah, I know it's not on one of the boss levels. Or it's actually... No, it's not. It's not one of the where you need a boss orb for it. Or the boss cell. I'm tired because I just got back from a 6-game excursion playing Blood Bowl at the Chaos Cup.
Which Dwarfs? Had,
I was playing Dwarfs.
Yep.
Because they're my only painted team. And Dwarfs are very solid and generally in Blood Bowl.
You mean a faction of all fours for stats is okay?
Well, not strength four. There's a couple fast guys in there. There's runners. They run six. But no, it's a crazy fun adventure over at the Chaos Cup. They had, I think, 100 and... I know it was over 100 people there for this year, which is significantly more than the previous years. Mm-hmm. I had about the worst encounter or the worst record I have ever had at the Chaos Cup, and I've been to all of them but one. I ended up going 1-4-1, and my tie was actually me convincing my opponent that he could do it. And he did it. So it was a tie.
So you're almost 2-4, but then you're like, come on, buddy.
You could do it. And yeah, and I may have opened his eyes too, because he was like, no, that's just stupid. I'll never throw it to my golem. I'm like, nah, you should do that. You should do that. You should totally do that.
And more importantly, you have nothing to lose by doing this.
Right, and that's the conversation you're describing. Somebody's like, oh, that's got a 1 in a million chance of succeeding. Sure, you have a 0% chance of winning if you don't try it.
Correct. Yeah, he ended up having a flesh golem break away from the line of scrimmage, and the werewolf tossed him the ball. He caught the ball and then ended up in the zone.
So that's just a circular saw.
I was just showing them the death orb. You can now see the death orb, and one of them will talk.
All right.
It's the buzzsaw.
Oh,
yeah. See, goodbye. So if you want to never have challenge in the game ever again, get yourself 2 death orbs.
I mean, but apparently... Part of the thing is you have to grind a long time to get
right.
To it.
Like this guy talked about, he literally started a new save and only unlocked Death Orb and like Ice Bowl. Like he's like he literally can get no other drops because that's it.
That's honestly what I would want to do with that game, because some of those other brutality weapons are.
Well, it's like shit. Most of the brutality weapons are terrible anyway.
Yeah, I would never unlock the cursed sword ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just yeah,
brutality is shit in general.
I had fun with it. So
I mean, I know you have. So it depends what you look for. Like, sure, you enjoy Spartan Sandal and a guy off a cliff. Sure,
yeah,
ain't a game-winning tactic.
Spartan Sandal's not even fun. It's just awful.
No. And he enjoys the Spartan Sandals.
I love kicking people off the cliff.
Yeah. And so that's the thing is like,
and it interrupts other people's attacks too, which is nice.
And like, Spartan Sandals is a big argument that people have. Like, the designer of the game is like, yeah, they suck. I know they suck. I think they're fun, so they're staying that way. 'Cause
But the other, more power to
people
him.
Like Andy exist, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and also people like me who at some point is going to do the Twitch integrated thing where someone else is picking exist. So fuck all of you.
Oh yeah. So then you'll get Spartan sandals, or you'll get the stupid.
I'd rather have sandals than the whips.
Hayabusa glove. The whips are horrible. Both whips are the worst.
They sure are.
the pure brutality whips, because I mean you could. There are
the actual whip, not the lightning whip. Bolt. Not the actual, like...
Oh, lightning bolt whip is cool. Lightning.
Those are fine. The actual... We're like ripping out Castlevania.
Yeah, yeah. Valmont's whip and the wrapping whip. The one that brings monsters closer to you so you could make it...
I mean, that one at least sounds better than the Valmont whip. That one just sounds... is just awful.
If you can actually get the tip to hit something... Like if that
I don't know if I could do that without putting a piece of tape on my TV screen to know where it is.
Into that,
I mean, if you smacked something with that, like I had a legendary Valmont's whip, and when that thing smacked on the tip, whatever monster
when
hit,
you got it with
exploded.
Just when you got it with just the tip, it worked.
Just the tip, yep.
Puck puck. Oh yeah, the tape will work. Yeah, I did some more Okami. I don't know if any of you guys played Okami, but there was a. Enemy, was it Blockhead? It wasn't Blockhead, whatever his name was, but they would show like weak points and then you had to tap on those exact spots. And so the key was just get a dry erase marker and just stab your television when they showed the weak points so that you could remember where they were a minute later when you had to actually do the mini game. Because like the last one had like 20 of them and you had to be like dead on where they were or else you didn't get it.
Can you imagine doing that? Sharing that online and then having some kid take like just an actual magic marker to like a Sharpie.
Take that. Yes, Tau Beast in chat. We are discussing Dead Cells. Yes. Although I guess now we're discussing Okami.
Yes, because if you're not playing or have not played Dead Cells, you are wrong objectively and you need to fix it.
Yes. Somebody should have recommended it a year and a half ago.
Yeah, but it didn't exist.
I gave you credit once you called me out on it.
Okay. That game didn't exist then.
That is true. It was a different game then. Early access exists.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't remember you remaking
Early
Access. But fucking A. Yeah, I played the shit out of that. We talked a little bit. We haven't really seen each other in like a month.
No.
So Nathan, where were you?
Yeah. There's something that happened.
Family visit. Hey, so you know how they say people don't quit jobs, they quit bosses?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely true. There's definitely a point where you hate someone so much you're willing to not have income for a couple weeks so that you don't have to see them ever again.
That's usually worth it.
Yeah. Yes. It's the mental health is worth it, and I'll be fine. But oh my word, yeah, job abandoning felt so good. Felt so fucking good. And then the fact that two other people followed me also felt good.
Oh, really? So that did happen then?
One person left 2 days later. like, he left at the end of it. I left on Wednesday. He left on Friday. And he's like, I don't think she realizes I'm not coming back next week. and then the other person either technically quit a week before me or a week after me. I'm not certain. Because he went on a 2-week vacation. And then, like, I'd been texting with him, and I'm like, yeah, I just left. He's like, okay, I'm not coming back from vacation then. So depending on where you count it, he either quit a week before me or a week after me.
Those poor fuckers, when he's scheduled to come back, they're like, yay, we got somebody back. That person's not coming back.
At least with me and those two guys leaving and somebody who job abandoned 2 days prior to that, there's literally zero people in the copy center, which is the most profitable and difficult and skill-based section of the entire store. So that'll go well for him.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? The sign to employers, treat your employees right. And not shift the fucking blame to your employees when shit goes wrong. Because you had mentioned something like that.
There was
a lot of blame shifting for shenanigans.
My favorite was she talked about how I had forgot about this when I told you everything else. But when I was acting store manager before they transferred her over, there were like conference calls that I had to do like on Tuesday mornings. And they were an hour-long conference call. And I'd touch base in the beginning. And then, you know, they'd do questions and conversations during the conference call, as you do. And then at the end, you had to like talk about your takeaways from the meeting and your goals, blah, blah, blah. And so given that I was literally the only manager, if there was like a customer service issue where I had to go open the safe for the guy with the gun delivering our money and all that stuff, I might step away from the call. And so she called me about the fact that I was, you know, not always on the call like I needed to be. It's like I literally can't. Like, you want me to just ignore the store for an hour and a half?
Wow.
That's fine. As soon as we started that conversation, I'm like, oh, okay. I'm leaving in 6 hours, so I'll just smile and nod.
I don't think it's Death Orb. It's Aura of Laceration, I think.
Well, whatever it's actually called.
But even then, it actually is really easy to unlock. All you have to do is 5 daily runs.
Oh.
I did one daily run because I knew...
I've done like 3 of them. Yeah. But I have thought about...
Once per day.
Yeah, I have thought about starting over just because every time I spin the sales to unlock something, I'm like, hey, I just got this thing that now drops sometimes instead of ice bows. Fuck.
Yeah. The frost one is also pretty good, too. The big frost blast.
Yeah, the frost blast and the frost blast and the ice bow are my two favorite top button abilities. And then there are so many purple weapons that are just terrible.
No, it's definitely called Death Orb.
Oh, it is, oh yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely called Death Orb.
It's a says, power. Hey, look,
it says Death Orb.
Yeah, it drops from Cleaver.
Cleaver is... I've been actually farming him for a long time because he's only in the fucking Forgotten Sepulcher.
You get him a good 0.4% of the time. It's got a 0.4 drop percentage.
It's pretty fucking horrible because I've killed so many cleavers and you have to go kill him in the goddamn... He's not the guy who drags you, is he?
No. He
throws the axe at you.
Yeah. No, he's just annoying because he's only in the Forgotten Sepulcher. Yeah. That video there that's repeating, that must be in a boss run. Or a boss cell run.
Boss cell run.
Well, it's got a 0.4% of drop in the Death Orb, so get to farming.
Have you tried farming with that fucking orb, too?
No.
I've done it a couple of times.
It's sometimes is really... Try farming Cleaver.
It's going to be fun with
not
Cleaver.
Not Cleaver, but
well, no, it's going Hammer. It's going to be fun with Cleaver because you make him elite and then he teleports next to you and one-shots you, which is just going to be fun.
They have a handy pro tip here, which is don't dodge in the same direction that the axe is traveling. Let's go for a walk together and hold hands and die.
Yeah, Hammer. Have you messed with an elite Hammer yet?
I have not messed with an elite Hammer, but I have fought enough Hammers that I'm not in a hurry to.
The Hammer is the only reason why I want to have either the Frost Blast or the bow, because I can't deal with Hammers other than that. Oh, Hammers are the worst. Who the fuck came up with that creature, too? I want to find out who did that, because who thought of a creature that just spits out bombs and little baby creatures out everywhere?
Probably Nathan's early access feedback.
Mm-hmm. No, and actually, that's kind of an issue with games like Dead Cells and Darkest Dungeons and those early access roguelikes is... The issue is that the people who play them a shitload in the early access are like the super hardcore people who want everything to be punishing and Dark Souls style, go fuck yourself. And so these games come out of early access just horrifically difficult.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's kind of an issue sometimes. They're bad about that.
I wouldn't say it's really that difficult.
I'm not saying Dead Cells is necessarily the worst at that, but it is a common theme that happens a lot with early access games. Look at FTL, for love of God.
Yeah. Well, somebody had mentioned in the chat too is that they've done a bunch of hours into Dead Cells, but it just got boring and repetitive. I mean, I guess probably my reason why I still play it is I just want to unlock shit.
Yeah.
And I knew it was going to be that going in.
Yeah, it's a personality thing, right? Like, some people are like, oh, okay, that's the game. Oh, I could do this a billion more hours and unlock a bunch of stuff, or I can just stop. I'll just stop. Yeah. Like, some people, that's fine.
Yeah, and like, my wife's watching me play this, and she's like, I can never do this. And even then, I'm only doing it for like an hour at a time.
Right.
And that's how I keep it sane, is I play until I start making sloppy mistakes, then I put it down for a while.
Yeah, and I've been playing on the Switch that I can, you know, play it, we'll take in a dump, and then I'm done, and so I just put it in sleep mode and go back to Gwent. And then play it while waiting for an opponent, and then put it in sleep mode.
I like the fact that you can just shut it off like immediately. You know, I have to like struggle to find a safe spot. You're just off.
That's a good thing about the Switch in general.
Yeah.
One of a million good things about the Switch.
Like all the Final Fantasy games that are coming out by next year.
No.
Like all the Final Fantasies are coming out.
Including Tactics.
No Tactics.
That will probably end up coming out.
One numerical one that wasn't coming out for some reason.
8.
Yeah, 8 for some reason isn't coming out.
Yeah, because it sucks.
Well, yeah. I respect 8. It tried a lot of interesting things. It failed at almost all of them, but they were all interesting ideas.
I don't want to have to rake my Switch in half when I have to play that fucking card game. That game.
I don't know, is 8's version better or worse than 9's version? Because 9's card game is basically 8's card name with hidden random number generation and different rules depending on where you play it.
I guess I haven't played 9 enough. Cause
actually, no, 8 has the different rules. 9, it's the same everywhere, but it has random number generation in the background. Yeah, it's 8 where different towns have different rules, and that can kind of fuck with your brain.
Yeah, and then you also had to, in order to get some of the cards too, you had to go beat somebody with the card. And yeah. And somebody was asking about, has anybody tried Warhammer Champions, which is the Fantasy Flight, is that a Fantasy Flight's version, card game, generating game? I think it was Fantasy.
I mean, the answer is no.
No,
none of us have played it.
I've heard decent things about it. But I'm not sure if that is Fantasy Flight or not.
Yeah. I almost want to say
if it is Fantasy Flight, I wouldn't want to play it just because they lost that license, so they can't make anything more for it. But
I mean, it must be a new thing.
Oh no, it's not.
It's not Fantasy Flight.
Yeah. Right. I know literally nothing about it except
nothing.
It's Age of Sigmar, so I don't like it.
It's a card game, and I don't think much of us here really play that much card games besides digital card games.
Shh.
But I mean, like,
it is a digital card game, or it has a digital form.
Okay. Because I'm remembering.
Well, so does Magic.
Yeah. It's the same thing. Is because I heard Jay's review of it from Gen Con, where one of the things you can do is you scan your cards and then can play those same cards digitally. So it still has a pack based mechanic, but
that's fucking awesome.
Stuff you unlock in real life is also unlocked in your online account.
I probably will never play the game, but that is a very, very awesome idea. That was the thing I hated about fucking Magic Online is, like, I'm going to go and buy a digital pack for the same price as I would pay for the physical pack.
Yeah.
And I get this really cool card. I can't play with this card anywhere else.
I mean, you know, it's like regular Magic, but you can do it with a fear of needles.
I do like the, like, wild cards that they give you in the Magic the Gathering Online. Like, every so often as you're doing your daily quests and stuff, instead of getting, like, a pack or whatever, you get, like, a token for a certain rarity, and you can just cash it in for a card of your choice.
Oh.
You can say, I want this specific common.
Which is the only way you can do sign with that large of a catalog.
Yeah. So that's cool. Although, on the other end, the digital card game I have zero interest in just because the economy sounds so stupid is Artifact. Like, Artifact can go to hell.
What is Artifact?
What is Artifact?
It's the new, it's like Steam's digital card game that's coming out like in a month.
Oh, that's the
you.
The new,
you know how you can earn packs and stuff like that?
Allegedly.
No, you can't. They've just said you literally can't earn it. Everything you get, you have to pay for. Your dailies will be for cosmetics only. You can play a million games. You can do a million daily quests. They ain't earning you a single fucking pack. Give us the money.
Hey, you know who's not going to play that?
Me.
Us.
Well, I mean, like somebody sure who actually does digital games. I mean, that's bull.
Streamers will play it, and the people who are addicted to the streamers will play it because their streamers play it.
Well, and they'll also get their streamers to buy more shit in it,
right?
Well, too. So, I mean, you're going to basically supporting your own addiction with if you're streaming it.
Right. Well, they'll gift to big name streamers to get them streaming to drive the revenue, to drive the interest, and then the streamers will buy packs with their funded from subscriptions, and then those people,
I would rather play the Fantasy Flight one where it's just random deck only exists once.
Oh my god. I actually would too. I would rather spend the 10 like, bucks on one of
at
those.
At least that one is just going to be once you learn the game it's like, okay, fine, let's just buy 4 decks and see who wins and then we bin it.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for how the secondary market of that works. So if you guys listening aren't aware of this, is that the new Fantasy Flight card game is designed by Richard Garfield, but every deck you buy is unique, and you have to play with a purchased deck.
There is no deck modding.
It is locked in.
Yeah, it is locked in, and you just buy it. You buy it off the shelf, and you get a deck of X cards, you have to pay.
You don't even know your faction?
I think you know faction.
No, I think it's completely random.
Okay, because there's like 5 or 6 factions. What I heard was
I know each deck is made up of like 2 or 3 factions, but I think it's just
all right. Yeah,
I mean, you could be right. Maybe the more info came out, but when I first read it, I thought it was just hey, roll the dice and cross your fingers.
Yeah, so I'm just waiting for the secondary market for that because if they play it competitively at all, how much are good random deck's going to cost.
The problem is how you know what's good.
They also said that there's like, because there's a QR code tied to each deck, so they said that like actually like for like this game can't fucking be played competitively, you psychopaths. But in theory, if it was, if somebody like wins nationals with this deck, they can actually track it, and then at tournaments they'll say people playing this exact deck have this handicap because this deck is too good.
If it ever gets generated again accidentally.
No, that deck. Like, the deck I own, I go and win nationals with it, mm-hmm. and then other tournaments I go to, they scan my QR code, and they say, okay, well, that deck gets you an X hit point penalty in every game because it won nationals.
Or, God, this is amazing.
Your path to the glory. You might have to take a harder, strict schedule.
Maybe, but yeah, they said they have QR codes, and they can use that for errata to specific targeted decks if they turn out to be too powerful.
So Nathan, here's your errata.
How would
like this would be perfect you for Keith?
He's if already you sell used the deck to, like, on eBay. You have to bring like here you go. Spoiler alert: there's errata too. Yeah,
it's like Keith would love this game. He's already been personally targeted by several game systems.
Yeah.
Criminy. It's just how fucking fuck you, Garfield.
It sounds really cool in a casual format.
Yeah, like I could see like dropping $40 on four packs and just throwing them in a shoebox and having them at your house for when three buddies are over.
Yeah,
like a $40 board game, right?
Yeah, it fuck, comes. I get to play the monsters again.
Yeah, whatever. But fucking tournaments? No.
Yeah,
that's going to be hilarious when they like nerf individual people. That's going to be great.
It seems like it's just like smash up.
But
at least Smash Up has a finite number of combinations.
Yeah, that's true.
Finite number of combinations that you get to intelligently cause versus just...
I mean, given the number of pop culture, no, you don't get to intelligently cause.
Sure. You get to purposefully choose?
Just waiting because the game is going to come out and there's going to be the Fuck You Nathan errata patch.
Because it isn't even like Smash Up where you take the two factions and shuffle it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's more like in Magic how there's red and black, and then you take 20 random cards each of red and black. So there's a million different red-black decks that could be made. Because it isn't even just that you get all of them, like in Smash Up.
You just get, yeah. This is just sounds horrible.
It's just...
Yeah, there was like 14 digits of possible combinations or something like that.
Yeah, like you could play a deck every second for a million years.
They're
like one of those
stupid
things.
They're never going to print that many decks because they will stop making... It'll get stuck on some container from China long before that.
Like I said, the only possible thing I could see is casual people either A, just buying four decks and throwing in a shoebox, or just a fun Saturday night thing would be a little just burner tournament. Like, your entry fee is, here, you bought a deck, we'll just play a tournament.
But you have a campfire outside, you just burn them.
Yeah, like, I support that, too. Like,
this deck sucks.
But no, you have to hope it gets played competitively, just so we can observe how terrible the secondary market and the behavior is around that.
I mean, there were tournaments for 4th edition
I'm Googling,
40K and 7th edition Fantasy.
People will play it competitively. But it's like, we have to hope, because we're going to sit there and have to watch on eBay what good decks go for. Because every deck is completely unique.
Well, here's the bigger question. Oh. What's a good deck?
Yes. So that's the thing. That I mean, if you win a couple of tournaments with a deck, you put it on eBay and $50,000 for your deck.
So, no,
it's called Keyforge, by the way. Keyforge, Call of the Archons. As I like to call it, the dumbest gaming thing since Break Key.
So, hey, hold on. So Keyforge. All right. So what if you accidentally put your QR code in your eBay transaction or the pictures on the eBay thing, and then the company could just say, "Nope, that deck's fucked. You're not supposed to resell."
No. Why can't
Well, who
you
cares
resell?
About resell? I don't think they care about reselling.
Why can't you resell?
No, I don't know.
You just can't modify the decks. Yeah. Whoever buys the deck will just buy the nerf version. Like, if you win with it and they nerf it, you'll just like, buyer beware, this deck has been nerfed.
Yeah. Or you have some idiot who just loses a card too. And
you just sell it pre nerf and hope that the errata happens after you unload the deck for thousands.
Or the game just fails miserably and becomes worthless cardboard.
Yeah.
That too. In Fantasy Flight, I'm voting with option 3.
Yeah. Worthless cardboard?
Mm-hmm. What a stupid like.
So okay. On that same topic, because all of us know who Richard Garfield is, but has he had a hit since Magic?
Yes.
What?
King of Tokyo.
Okay.
That game is fucking awesome.
The expansion makes it a decent
game. Actually, yeah, the expansion makes the game. I mean, The game is just shitty rolling dice, but the expansion with all the powers for all the monsters makes the game
much better.
I mean,
and even shitty
better.
Rolling dice still made him bank.
Yeah.
It's thematic Yahtzee without the expansion.
Correct.
And also, it's half the length of Yahtzee.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite filler quick. Games.
You're thinking of, like, Monopoly. Yahtzee's real quick. Every person gets 12 turns, right? Like, it's a finite number of turns. It can't go any longer than that. It's just...
I might be jaded because I've had too many times where we've had too many people playing the same game of Yahtzee.
Like, four, maybe right. five people tops. That, if you're playing with, like, a dozen people,
it's
that's your own...
That's where I hear stabbings go on.
I want.
And then if it's not
the
a drink,
the problem was it was in the middle of the Northwoods, Wisconsin. So
that's say, where the most stabbings can happen.
Yeah, if you're playing with 12 people and it's not a drinking game, you're doing one of the two things wrong.
Don't you know about Slenderman?
You know what other game Richard Garfield designed? Artifact.
But we already knew that.
Did we?
Yeah.
You got. I didn't know Richard Garfield designed Artifact. I thought that was just coincidental that we talked about it, and now we're talking about another game.
No,
by
somebody mentioned it was Richard Garfield during the conversation.
I thought that was the.
And that's why he's even been brought up.
No, we were talking about KeyForge.
Now I'm mixing up KeyForge and Artifact.
Yes, Artifact, the online one that comes out in 2 months with the shitty you can't earn cards economy, is done by the same guy did these shitty you can't.
Yeah,
build
so is Richard Garfield now the official patron saint of shitty collectible card gaming? Strategies.
It sounds like more. He's just more the patron saint of pay to win,
or the patron saint of cashing out
with
Artifact.
Artifact. That's it. Mm-hmm. It's with that. It really does seem like.
Yeah,
it's
I mean that is
win.
Just pay to win the game.
Yeah.
Well, I mean that's what Magic is.
He made a.
There is a 1 in 1,000,000 chance that you'll just get lucky in Magic. Yeah. This is just straight pay to win.
No.
Like they've removed the curtain.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine if they did like a McDonald's Monopoly thing with Magic, and just like one pack out of this entire shipment will have a Mox in it?
I mean, that's less shitty than other things I've done.
He did Robo Rally, which is tolerable. Okay, did.
No, if you don't play it, it's tolerable.
If you do a single board with one or two flags, it is a perfectly fun little game.
I would agree with that. It
people
is,
go like, let's put four boards and 10 flags, and then I just kill myself.
And then 6 hours later, you're like, my fucking robot's running into the wall. Yeah.
Oh, he designed Rocketville. That is one of the worst games I've ever played in my life.
What?
Good job. Rocketville is a shitty board game where basically you just like did a series of like 20 auctions, and each auction everybody just drew a random card, and then that card was their bid value.
This doesn't sound like Ra at all.
Well, imagine Ra, but each tile auction we shuffled together all the bidding tiles, and we each were just dealt one.
That sounds horrible.
I'm like, hey, I got the big one. I win.
Yeah,
and then we do another auction. We shuffle them up and deal them out. And you go, I got the big one again. I win. Aren't I good at this game?
It sounds like Titanic versus Iceberg.
Right. Titanic versus Iceberg could not possibly be worse than Rocketville. It was.
At least Titanic versus Iceberg will be quick.
No, well, I played it at Gen Con.
It's at least a 12-turn game.
I played it at Gen Con when it came out. There was like a
Wait,
little.
You released Titanic versus Iceberg without me?
No, not
it's
yet.
It's in early access.
Early access.
but
just hold on, let me mind meld.
But they had a little like demo/mini tournament thing where you played a game and whoever won the game got a free copy of the game, and my buddy Scott won it, and then he just threw it out on his way out of the hall, like directly in front of their booth. Like he just walked 10 feet and threw it in the garbage and kept walking.
Yeah, there's some.
That just reminds me of an Adepticon when Fantasy Flight was was the official release of Legion was at Adepticon, and I went by their booth and they had three tables set up and couldn't get them filled with people playing at the biggest miniatures gaming focused convention there is.
Well, I mean, their Fantasy Flight has a reputation in the terms of miniature gaming.
For abandoning things after two.
Their board games are amazing. I love every board game.
You're not dependent on any of their expansions. Yeah. Like, that's the problem with their entire production model is they're at the whim of a really shitty shipping company who always is late.
Because that was Star Wars
X-Wing. That's what killed it for me.
Not X-Wing, but the dice game. That's all Fantasy Flight too, isn't it?
Same problem. Armada, same problem. Yeah. Legion, same problem.
Yeah, it's...
Well, Legion has a double problem also of people are 5-1 wanting to play Empire.
Yeah.
Yeah, the faction everybody wants to play because we're all, you know, terrible nerds is also the one that you just spray paint white and it looks terrible.
Did you see the image of the coloring book? The kids' coloring
book?
Yeah,
Kylo Ren.
Kylo Ren and his stormtroopers.
drew the red on his lightsaber and said, I'm done.
I mean,
here is the most stunning review of Rocketville I can find, by the way, just because I wanted this. If you think of it as a light game and manage to get it for a low price, you might find it's not that bad.
Is that on the box? Because that'd be amazing if that was
there is
the
a
box.
Guy who compares his version of, here, I'll read this one more thing because it was funny. Here's what the ad copy says about the game. In the future, in the retro future hometown USA known as Rocketville, there's no greater honor or privilege than holding the office of mayor. The goal of this fast-paced game of luck and strategy. Traveling from district to district via rocket, players campaign for votes, making promises, garnering endorsements, and recruiting robotic assistants in a mad dash to win the popular vote and the game. Here's what I have to say about the game. It sucks.
So he just basically cut and copied the whole summary, and then
that was the box's summary and that was his counterpoint.
Yeah.
Oh my god! I would actually recommend people, if you like see a copy of it in your local game store's demo pile, play it and then ask them if you can burn it.
We should check at Pegasus if they have it in the play area.
It is the second worst auction game I've ever played.
What's the worst auction game?
It's called Senator.
Okay.
And the best thing about Senator is, like, you'd play, like, a total of 5 auctions per phase, and there's 3 phases, and at the end, whoever has the most wins. But when you're in an auction, you can either keep it or give it to somebody. And if you give it to somebody, if they have competing things, like, they all just mutually self-destroy each other. So if you manage to win an auction, someone else will just win an auction that canceled it and give it to you. So the winning scores are, like, 1-0-0-0. And even better, so there'd be, like, 5 or 6 auctions. Probably 6 auctions for the 4 of us, okay? Each of us, you have a hand of bidding cards. Each of us has 1 card that's the assassin. If you play it during an auction, that auction is canceled and all cards put onto that auction so far are discarded from the game. There's 4 of us. There's 6 total auctions in the phase, which means 2 actions actually happen. And what will probably happen is you win 1 and then Dan wins the other and nukes yours. And then we do that 3 times and then we throw it away. The only silver lining to Senator was that my buddies and I who played it, we each kept an assassin card, and we would just use it in future games. Like, we didn't play War Machine, but in theory, like, we'd be playing War Machine, and Dan would feet, and I'd go, nope, assassin. And be like, my feet's canceled, the game is ruined. It was the only silver lining of that pile of shit.
I mean, at least they put a clock mechanic into it, because otherwise it's Munchkin.
Yeah. Oh, fucking A, it was so bad. So fucking bad.
I got yelled at for bagging on Munchkin at the Chaos Cup. I'm like, that game is honestly it honestly isn't bad. Yeah, unless you have the people who make it bad in the group. It's like Illuminati is not a bad version of the game, but if somebody has the assassins and they use the assassins correctly, it's the worst game in the world.
So Illuminati and Munchkin both have the same flaw, which is a flaw in a lot of Steve Jackson games, which is that there is no internal clock. Right. They can go on literally forever.
Yeah. Potentially. Yes.
Even without that, Munchkin is a pile of shit compared to Illuminati.
I mean, I will say Munchkin is better than Flux.
It is better than Flux.
But that's the only good thing I'll say about Munchkin.
Probably.
I mean, the last time anybody asked me to play Flux, I said, can we just flip a coin and make it quick and get it over with?
You should definitely not play Flux because we didn't play test this at all exists, and it usually takes about 45 seconds to play, so it's much more enjoyable than Flux. Because that, at least, there was the card that says, if the shortest person at the table ever has this card, they immediately win the game. Other players are encouraged to hold it above their head just out of reach. And we were playing with Katie Shea, and it was adorable watching her hop up and down trying to get it out of my hand.
Nice. I've had one good, enjoyable Munchkin experience, and that was at a tech conference where the 6 of us playing, none of us knew each other. Then it actually worked, because no one had any problems with like trying to do random alliances that would immediately fall apart.
Sure.
As soon as you play that game with any pre-existing knowledge of who you like and dislike, it falls apart immediately because you fall into playing a team game that was never designed to be a team game.
But even without pre-existing alliances, like, isn't there still, hey, that guy's 1 point away from winning, let's dogpile him to zero. Now somebody else is 1 point away from winning, let's dogpile him to zero. Oh, look, we're all at zero. The game started over and it's been 2 hours.
We didn't hit that problem also because four of them didn't realize you could do that.
Okay.
So
that'll help as well.
Correct. So we put a clock based on an experience.
Well, that makes sense then.
So. So it turns out the secret to playing Munchkin is not knowing how to play Munchkin.
Yes.
Gotcha.
God, that poor guy that at the board game days that would set up his whole Munchkin collection.
50 boxes.
Oh, my God.
Jim in chat says he's the person you don't want to play Munchkin with because I play to cause problems. That reminded me of, I think I told the story of the Order of the Stick webcomic had a board game that came out, and I played the demo at Gen Con, and I made the demo guy cry.
I think I remember you talking about this. This is a few years ago.
Yeah. Oh, it was adorable. He just was like, please just finish the game. And he was crying. Because the game was fucked. It didn't have an internal clock. And, Lord, I'm like, fine. Like, my character is designed to steal other people's treasure. So, like, one person got treasure, and then we all just kept stealing the treasure from each other. The guy's like, can you go to the next level of the dungeon? It's like, no, fuck you, treasure.
Yeah, well, that's an elaborate test, and you should go and revisit your rules after that.
You should.
Just bolt on a clock. It'll sell better.
Yeah. Or because the big thing with the Order of the Stick one was you were supposed to go down like four, almost Cutthroat Cavern style. You went down like four levels of a dungeon, and then you killed a big boss. And then, it's actually more like, what's the game? Like, the game you guys played where, like, somebody escaped with rope and it was the most valuable treasure.
Oh, so they Dungeon won the Quest.
Game. Dungeon Quest. So it's like Dungeon Quest. You go in, you grab your treasure, you get out. And whoever has the most when they get out wins.
Mm-hmm.
And when you got to the bottom and slayed the big boss, a timer started, so you had to flee the dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
But that timer didn't start till you got to the bottom and killed the boss. But you could still steal treasure from each other from day one as soon as you entered the dungeon. So we never left the first floor. And we just kept slapping each other, stealing the worthless garbage on the first floor. And the game had nothing it could do about that except cry.
Hmm.
So that's probably the worst day of that guy's life.
Is there a board game without a clock that's good?
I mean, in theory, the deeper tactical board games like chess or Go or something. Well, Go has a clock, right? Because there's a
finite number of moves.
Yeah, although you can clear, it must eventually
there's
naturally
still
a
finite number of moves.
But like chess, in theory,
chess technically. I mean, if you play by FIDE rules, it technically has a clock, but that clock can effectively not. The clock rarely gets hit.
So I watch a lot of Achievement Hunter, and they did a Let's Play. They did a Let's Play of Uno that turned into Uno the movie. As in, it was like a 3-hour game of Uno.
Yeah, no.
Because like, they can't cut anything out of it. Like, they can't cut out like non-interesting parts of the Let's Play because
then it would be no.
Because it wouldn't make sense. So, yeah.
I can't think of one. Like, apart from something deeply strategic like that where you can technically really slow play.
Can diplomacy do that?
No, diplomacy has a finite number of turns.
It does.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, because diplomacy is a timed game, no, I guess it doesn't have a finite number of turns. But yeah,
the clock in diplomacy is that no one trusts each other.
Yeah. Like, so eventually, I guess you could just 7-player stalemate if everybody just crossed their arms and said, yeah. But eventually you'll all just declare it a stalemate or somebody will break.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Right.
Sure.
Chad asked if the Order of Stick isn't it just a team game. It might be now. It wasn't when I played a demo a decade ago. I'll tell you that much.
Somebody is mentioning his pre-Death Clock War Machine. Actually,
I mean, there was still a round timer, though.
You play War Machine without any clock at all,
it's terrible. Or scenario.
Right, that falls under my umbrella of I will not play a game that does not have a built-in timer. And if that built-in timer is a literal timer, that's fine.
Yeah.
But I need something that makes me know that 7 hours of flux.
I'm playing diplomacy. I mean, when I lived in Kentucky, I said I had a copy, but I said I had a terrible place to play diplomacy because I lived on the 14th floor and had a balcony, and with the the group of people I knew, I'm 90% sure that if we played Diplomacy in my apartment, somebody would have been
was
over
it
the balcony.
Was it Brian who said that he made somebody, he watched somebody eat their...
no, that was me. Yeah, I saw somebody be force-fed a fleet marker. Yeah. Those two guys weren't invited to any more game days. That wasn't entirely Diplomacy's fault. That was more on those guys. Yeah, we need to play. I want to play in person.
Yeah, I
want to do an in person game because, I don't know. Like something about playing online with people I know was actually weirdly frustrating. Yeah. Like I don't mind
that
online.
When
with
we started
nobody.
Playing Hidden Name, that got better.
Yeah,
like Open Name was awful.
Open Name was kind of awful because we had the pre-existing things, and maybe I'm just not as good. For some reason, when I play online with like six random people I've never talked to in my life, I have a blast. And when I play in person, I have a blast. But the online's Open Name with people I knew were just rough. Mm-hmm. Plus, some people were really weird. Like the guy who didn't show up for the first 4 years and then showed up and fucked everything up even worse by showing up.
Yeah, it turns out Diplomacy is awful when Russia just turtles and does nothing for the first four turns of the game.
Yeah.
Do you remember the online game where the Turkish alliance was so strong there was just the ring?
Yes. Yeah, around Turkey had a line going around Austria, like into Germany and France. Austria didn't even have anybody. He was pushing into Italy, just all his territory empty. And
it was a
like,
really bad time to be Italy.
Oh!
Not that I'm still.
No, that was my one positive experience in high school was that in my World Civ class, the teacher divided the class into teams and we played Diplomacy. Mm. And he didn't know me or my best friend at the time who was on another team. My best friend comes over after class and I said, okay, Dave, let's win this. I'm like, okay, we can do this. And the last turn of the game, we managed to successfully backstab everyone else. And it was beautiful.
My first game of Diplomacy ever was a big blast because my buddy Andrew... who actually, I believe he still has the record, or is at least tied for the record for, they have almost like a Stanley Cup for the Diplomacy Gen Con tournament, and he's on it the most times, which is kind of cool. But he was Austria, and he got crushed really quickly down to just one army, and that army survived for like 15 more years all the way to the end of the game. That army ended up in England. Like, France convoyed Austria's army with German support onto English territory. It was just this little red mercenary army just bouncing around fucking with everybody. Just every fall, they're like, get it, go, little buddy. You can do it. Just moving from supply center to supply center.
You only get one, but.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, sure, because as soon as they'll be like, all right, you're moving off because I'm taking it, but I'll help you take that guy's next. So we were all just shoving him onto each other. Technically shared in the victory. So that's World Team Championship.
Yeah.
Nope.
Diplomacy.
Diplomacy.
Austria. Go Austria.
No, it's Australia.
Yeah. G'day, mate.
Austria did well, though, but they didn't win.
This is a very deep callback that Nathan's doing.
Yeah.
So we didn't check. Did Poland get second then? I know.
Yes.
I wasn't sure how strength the schedule and stuff worked.
It was Australia, Poland, England Knights, England Lions.
England Knight got Threeth?
Yep.
Yeah, Threeth.
I know Travis won't let us do it, but I want to.
You want a Threeth? Yeah. I mean, let
can
nothing.
You sending
let
that,
nothing. All right. It isn't Travis's tournament. There's a committee.
I know, but we'll have to work if we piss him off.
Yeah. Can you imagine
I was going to run the event.
We'll still have to work if we piss him off.
That's true. He does all the logistics.
Need to know. He doesn't listen to this podcast.
Mm. There's like a 50% chance he was listening.
It's possible. I can check
the Threeth.
Hold on. I'm going to accidentally make somebody a admin.
Don't.
Yeah, Travis is not on the podcast.
He's not on there. So there's no way he'll know.
No way he could know. Nobody tell him.
Yeah. Nobody tell Travis that we're making Threeth blacks.
But yeah, World Team Championship is over. Australia won. One of the Australia players had a hilarious post on the KDOR forum afterwards, or the KDOR Facebook group afterwards, which I strongly suggest you check out the KDOR Facebook group just to read Christopher Davis's post.
This was right at Davies.
Yeah.
And this was right after he pop and dropped Krios 1.
Yes. Also, pop and drop on beating Krios 1 with Eros 2 by a pop and drop is just karma in action, and it is just
how
beautiful.
How did USA do?
8th, 18th, and 21st. ATC team was 18th.
Okay. Nice.
Yep.
With their incorrectly thematically chosen team name.
Yeah.
Although it made kind of like a Venn diagram, I guess, where there were two inventors and two industrialists. And so you had Tesla was just an inventor, Rockefeller was just an industrialist, and then Edison was both.
And two of the three were evil, so.
Yeah, yeah. And only
I would say all three were probably evil.
Tesla wasn't evil. He wanted to build death weaponry for the good of all mankind.
No, Tesla wanted to build death weaponry because he was sick of people not paying him.
Only one of them murdered elephants in public for publicity stunts.
In the other's name.
Only one of them almost single-handedly killed the entire film industry in the cradle. Through piracy.
Okay, I was going to say, because Rockefeller might have tried to do that, too.
No, but. Well, you know, like, the Earth to the Moon, mm-hmm. the famous short with, like, the rocket and the moon and stuff? He pirated that and released thousands of copies of it everywhere, and just, he did that with several movies and just killed film. Like, it barely didn't die, because that shithead just was like, fuck you.
Well, Edison, you know, hey.
Yeah, I thought it was a weird selection of
they wanted
names.
Evil industrialists, and then the Californians picked Tesla. Because they're like, Tesla, he's an evil industrialist, like the second one, not the first.
Honestly, they're probably like, to be perfectly honest, it was probably, who the fuck is Rockefeller? Oh, I know Edison. We don't like Edison, so let's put on Tesla.
Yeah, like they're like, oh, is Rockefeller an inventor too? I'm not going to research Tesla.
So I'm not doing research. Tesla is American? I thought he was...
He was Serbian-American.
Yeah.
Okay.
Born in Serbia, emigrated in... Did most of his work in America.
Okay.
Something. Yep.
Okay. I thought he was... Yeah.
No, he came over to work for Edison, and Edison promptly screwed him twice.
Yeah. Well, everybody that he worked for screwed him.
Westinghouse, he ripped the patents up himself to save Westinghouse. So... Same result, different connotation.
Yeah. I mean, Westinghouse screwed him in other ways, too. Edison screwed him. Marconi screwed him.
Yeah. Westinghouse was the gentlest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Life was not particularly good for good old Tesla.
But he outlived all of them by, like, 20 years.
Yeah. And now he's the one that people like.
Correct.
Like, we've gotten over that Edison fucko. Like, remember that time... When Tesla was in charge of the World's Fair, and like a month before the World's Fair, Edison's like, oh, by the way, I'm not going to let you use any light bulbs because I still have the patent on the light bulbs. So Tesla invented a better light bulb in like 2 days. Fuck you, Edison.
If only he wrote stuff down. Yes, California should have just picked Disney.
So speaking of WTC and ATC, WTC and ATC teams, since the WTC is over, I am recruiting for Team Conflict Chamber because I am going. My goal is to put together a team of top players, and I will be the alternate. Fuck.
Also, yeah, I was gonna say, are you the coach?
Also, speaking of which, in ATC news, if you don't like lots of notifications, remove yourself from all Facebook groups before tomorrow morning.
But yes,
notifications are coming. No, the ATC registration links are coming out tomorrow.
Yeah.
But no,
if this is coming in the past, I'm not sorry.
What do you think of that new sexy site that no longer has random advertising on it?
I don't go to that site.
We have
I just moved it over to a different host so you didn't have to use the free WordPress site that was putting random giant... pictured advertising on the front page.
See, I never saw advertisement, but I think that's because it was in the behind the scenes website. Correct. I was never on the front
correct.
Website. I also have my effort posts I need to run past everybody else before I post it, but I'll talk about that off the air.
And unfortunately, when I moved the site over, I could only move it over with one user, so I am credited with writing everything on the ATC website.
I mean, you wrote non-zero percentage of it anyways.
What?
You had at least one post on there, so you were in the top three or four.
I didn't have a post on the ATC. I just got the access for it. Like,
I thought you had posted signed for WITC because you were complaining that we didn't have anything up there.
No, I just complained. Just complaining. About it.
Yeah, he didn't do anything about the complaint.
Yeah, nobody just gave me access about it.
That's because we all forgot our passwords.
Yeah, now I have access to it. So what are we talking about? Are we going to do that? I don't think we have any Zappity.
There was one at the top.
There was a recommendation.
Yeah. In the meantime, I have three recommendations because I've missed a few weeks.
Oh, no, it's instead of a Zappity, it's a recommendation.
Okay.
Actually, wait. I did remember. We had one other thing we wanted to ask you about. So tell us about the river. That was a road.
Oh, yeah. That was... Oh, I need to send Andy that video so he can put a logo on the... Yeah, that was when it flash flooded. For those who don't know, Madison had a massive flash flood. What the hell was that?
I just had a great idea. So the truck that drives by in there, I could impose crippled system.
Take that.
No, I feel that we need something classier, like a Keith head or something driving it.
Or no, that's Muse, and they splash, and then our crippled system window goes up. But no, Madison had real bad flash floods, and I was driving to pick up Raylene to then carpool home, because we were just going to leave one of the cars there. And then it turned out we really needed to leave one of the cars there, because as I was getting to where she was, I was going through an intersection that was, you know, about a foot and a half deep water, and the car in front of me stopped, which meant that I had to stop, which meant that I was stopped. So I managed to coax the car into starting again. I hydrolocked the fuck out of it. So it managed, like, if I floored it, it was going 2 miles an hour. Oh. Like, it limped around the corner. I parked in the parking lot. I'm like, all right, you're dead. And I got everything out of, well, I walked in the rain, like a half a mile to where Raylene was. We drove back, cleared out all the valuable stuff from the car. We forgot to get the CDs out of the glove box, so I lost a couple CDs. I knew I was going to lose one CD because it was in the radio, and I had previously torn off the front of the radio and thrown it out my window, so I couldn't get that CD out of the radio. So, sorry, emo.
Did you white truck this?
What?
Did you white truck it?
No, this one I actually called and had somebody pick it up, and then they paid us for it. Because the white truck, I'm like, I'm just done, and I just left it there.
You just left it there.
Yeah. I just walked home, and like two weeks later, I got like a bill from the state. They're like, we towed your truck and junked it. You owe us money for the effort.
Usually they don't charge you anything because they'll junk it for a profit and they'll just pay off the tow bill.
But this one I knew was more valuable than that white truck. And so we actually, I wasn't even going to bother because I figured that flooding wasn't covered. But we actually called our insurance policy and it was covered. And it was a total loss. So they gave us,
It turns out, unlike home stuff, auto, comprehensive auto does cover flood damage because you didn't make a bad decision by building a house in a floodplain. You could legitimately just be caught up in flash flooding in a car.
Yeah. So, yep. So that was good. So the car went away. So I'll have to get a new car soon.
Yes.
Yeah.
We always were very scared of the day that Nathan was stuck with one car and living an hour away.
Yeah, that's where I am now. Luckily, I don't have any commute right now, though. So that works out really well for, mowing the lawn and stuff. But yeah, as soon as I get a new job, I'll get a car. So that was good. Oh, and so then we're like, well, let's try waiting out the rain because it's really bad. We don't want to drive home. The belt line looked terrible. So we went and saw a movie.
4 inches later.
Yeah, it got worse.
So it was like 12.
No, I'm just saying after the movie.
I'm trying to remember what movie we saw. Raylene, what movie did we see? Okay. Raylene didn't. Huh? I don't remember. Okay. She doesn't remember either. Fuck.
I'm going to find out what that movie is because we just have the best review of it ever.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how good of a movie it was. We just don't remember it. You know what it was? It was Ant-Man and the Wasp. We went and saw Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Well, that movie's good, though. Yeah. It's kind of forgettable a little bit.
Yeah. We have just empirically... Really good,
Yeah.
Not the end credit, the mid-credit.
End credit
is the ant playing drums.
That sucked. That was fucking stupid.
Although with just the emergency tones all playing in the background.
That was creepy, but just... It was... Basically, it would almost been better for me if they just did the emergency tone. No, just nobody there.
Yeah.
Just everybody gone.
But that mid-credits was good. But, spoiler, I think it's like only the third Marvel villain to not die?
That's pretty good.
I guess Zemo, Loki... originally, I'm just talking about in their film, right?
Yeah. Zemo survives. Loki is dead anyway.
But within their own film, Loki survives.
Yeah.
Zemo survived. Thanos so far has survived.
Vulture survived,
yeah.
Leader.
Leader wasn't the villain of that film.
No, he wasn't.
But What's-His-Face was, and he did survive. Abomination.
Yep.
So like five, so I guess that's like one out of four.
I'm surprised they just haven't unleashed the Abomination so we can have another just ruckus in New York again.
Yeah, they're super fucked on rights. Like Universal owns half the rights to the Hulk. It's this weird thing. Yeah, Red Skull.
I thought he.
I mean, So within Captain America, the First Avenger, functionally he dies, yeah, right? So it's a weird bringing him back kind of thing.
It doesn't. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't count if one of the primary stones that holds reality together decides to suck him back somewhere else to torture him for eternity.
Sure.
He's
a ghost more than a living thing. But going into the theater, we saw like a couple who were coming out, like just whatever, like young college kids, and they go to run to their car, and she takes one step, immediately falls into the street off the side of the road, face plants into water that is deeper than her. Like she's submerged all the way. It was the funniest damn thing. I feel sorry for whatever phone she has and hope she has insurance. But just you're like, I'm going to run. First step, whammo, face plant gone.
Never to be seen from again.
Yeah. It was the Soul Stone that Red Skull was guarding.
Yeah.
Which I honestly, when I watched the film, I didn't even realize it was the Red Skull at first.
The guy with the Red Skull as a head, you were confused?
I just didn't notice the color.
I mean, that was 20 movies ago.
I didn't notice the color, and it was a very dark sequence.
I didn't notice the color, and I just assumed that it was somebody that looked like Red Skull because Red Skull was dead.
Weaving back.
I didn't even put two and two together.
I thought it was Hugo Weaving.
It was not Hugo Weaving. It was a guy who looked vaguely like Hugo Weaving. Yeah, Hugo Weaving didn't want... apparently, that makeup was a nightmare.
Okay,
I don't know if they did a better job for this new guy or if this new guy just was willing for the paycheck, Hugo Weaving after
he was on screen for 15 seconds, so...
Yeah, I suppose. Sure, but if that 15 seconds is 10 hours of makeup, that still blows ass.
Yeah.
The new guy just might not have known what he was getting into.
Yeah, or cared. Or they could have improved it, right? But Hugo Weaving, when they did the original film, made no bones that it was a nightmare and he hated every moment of it.
All right. So Jim had mentioned instead of a zappity as a recommendation, do you like geeky stuff? Do you like science? Do you like when people explain science fiction and fantasy with real science in entertaining ways, then you should watch Because Science. Who's in it?
Yeah, tell us more, Jim. Yeah.
Because Science's hosts... Oh, never mind. You scrolled. I can't read anymore. Because Science's host science communicator is just Nerd Thor. I'm going to try that sentence again. Also, Because Science's host science communicator is just Nerd Thor. Okay.
What?
Is Jim having a stroke?
And this is the last time that we do a viewer.
So we have to parse things. It's also Because Sciences, that's the name of the show. So we have two things we have to parse. Host Science Communicator and Nerd Thor. So Nerd Thor could literally be Chris Hemsworth.
Or one of his brothers.
God, I loved that fucking review the AV Club did of Westworld when it first came out. It's one of my favorite sentences in any review ever where they said, it stars a Hemsworth. No, not that one. No, not that one either. It was beautiful. But host science communicator. Do they just mean host?
I don't know. Scroll down. Maybe Jim has.
That's what I was looking.
Nope.
He just says, the channel's in.
All right, so it is a crippled system review. No longer making sense. Just look it up.
Okay, so the Tesseract was the Space Stone, but... So I guess the Space Stone teleported him to the planet where he guards the Soul Stone, I guess. Because the Soul Stone was definitely the one he was guarding.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was thinking hard and trying to think. I thought the Tesseract was also the Mind Gem.
Yeah, but it was blue, right? And isn't blue the space?
Well, Loki, because Loki was using the mind gem around.
Yeah, the mind gem was in Loki's staff. Yeah. The Nova Corps had the space gem, wasn't it?
I don't fucking know.
I think they eventually had
the purple rack, one.
I think.
No,
the purple one was with Collector.
They must have had space because that's the one he first showed up with.
It was the Space Stone because the Space Stone was in Asgard, and that was happened off scene.
Yes,
off screen.
Okay, the guy just looks like Chris Hemsworth, but he's the host that is a science communicator. Well, when you're the host of a science show, you are communicating science, so you're just talking all weird words, Jim. The point is Because Science is a nerdy show about science.
Okay.
Okay.
Science is awesome.
Yeah.
What the hell? What do you... What? Oh. Space orb. It's a Portal reference. It is in Portal.
Okay.
David, I don't know if you played Portal.
I played a little while and got
my recommendation is play Portal 1 and 2.
Yes.
Portal 1.
Yeah. Because Portal 1, you can beat the game in like five, like if you know what you're doing, it's like a 20-minute game. Yeah. But your first time through, leisurely.
2 to 3 hours, it's an enjoyable evening.
Your first time through is a long time, and then 2 years later when you play it again, it's a long time too. Until you're like, oh, wait a second.
Mm-hmm. Portal 2 is so good.
Yes. The narrative in that game is
Portal 2 also has a little bit better replayability. Portal 1, the second time through, I'm like, this is kind of boring.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, because it's just puzzles.
And there was a lot of one way to solve puzzles.
Correct.
Whereas Portal 2 had a few more multi-solve.
You say there's one way to solve puzzles, and then you watch a speed run of it, and you're like, oh, that's not the one way.
I mean, but
that's break a different the game. Puzzle. Yeah, that's a different puzzle. That's the how do I break the physics engine so I go outside the map and fuck everything.
Yeah, I don't like those type of speed runs. Those speed runs, I recognize the skill that it takes them to do something like that.
I mean, it's like hacking at that point.
Yeah. No. Well,
it's just a different category, and you got to appreciate it for its own thing, right? And that's why they have categories.
Yeah. I appreciate the pure...
No out of bounds is your main. Yep. Yeah.
My recommendation is... it's probably not going to be a very... People are probably not going to agree with me, but...
I mean, it's time for your yearly Blood Bowl recommendation.
No. No Blood Bowl. I'm sick of it for a while.
Boo Blood Bowl.
No. It's a show that I think is 100 times better than the one that everyone's all fucking hyped about.
Is it
Humans?
What is Humans?
As in over Westworld.
I
got done watching the second season of Westworld, and
season of Westworld was not good.
It has the same exact problems as the first season. First season actually was really good. I did enjoy it, but fucking with the timelines. It's so fucking annoying when I'm spending half the movie going what it's or the show. It's just fuck it. Go watch. It's a show that's it's originally a BBC show called Humans. It's originally also shown in the US here under AMC. Go get AMC's app, download it, watch it. It is a great show. Overall, Westworld is really kind of set in the very future dystopian world.
Utopian, like a weird, yeah.
Dystopian, utopian. I mean, it's set really far into the future. Yeah. And to me, Humans feels like this is something that could literally happen during my lifetime.
Sure.
And it's the characters, the everything that it's written for.
It's similar. Really, you keep comparing it to Westworld because it's a similar thing with the androids. You know, where are they different than us? What rights do they deserve? That's kind of like the driving.
That's kind of how the show moral, is now, is more androids' rights.
Yeah.
But it really started off with basically just androids, and then eventually them going rogue.
Right.
And then
incredibly similar thematically to Westworld, which is why you keep comparing them.
Correct.
But
I think it's done better.
Because it's not contained, right? It's more of just it's not like in a little amusement park. Like, it's just like in a normal city where this stuff starts happening.
It's worldwide.
Right, exactly. Worldwide, so Humans is different in so much as it's a global event that's happening.
Correct.
That everyone has to deal with instead of just, fuck, here's 20 guys, get some guns and try to contain it.
The first season probably has one of the most emotional things I've seen on television in a very long time. It's really good. I've recommended it before, and I will, after watching this last season, recommend it even more. Humans. It's good.
I'm going to recommend Wisconsin cheese curds because fuck it.
Yeah. Curd Fest is coming up because they delayed
it.
Because the flash flood was the weekend it was supposed to happen.
The county, yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
What?
Flash flood. But actually, hold on, that helps because now I can go to Cheese Fest.
That's true, because you were gone.
Cheese Curd Fest, because I was gone in a different state at the time. I don't need another reason to be fat.
I mean, how many reasons do you need?
Not many.
Culver's, Taco Bell, chili.
All right. I had three recommendations, but I forgot one of them in the meantime. And either or both of these might be repeats. I can't remember because I've done so much cocaine. But the first one was going to be the author Eric Larson. I just thought of him because we were discussing Tesla.
Eric Larson, the comic book artist?
No.
Eric Larson is followed basically like wherever Todd McFarlane has done comics in.
Quite unfortunately. A
it kind of spawned off of Thirth. But
continue, Nathan.
No, this is fine. But he's the author and artist of The Savage Dragon, is Eric Larson. Is it E-R-I-K-L-A-R-S-E-N?
S-O-N.
Oh, that's a weird Larson's.
I'm sorry. Eric Larson writes.
That's with my mind. I immediately think Savage Dragon. It's not. Sorry, go ahead.
They are riveting dramas. They oftentimes have murder and stuff like that in them, but they're based very tightly woven with actual historical events.
Especially the Savage happened. Dragons.
Things that because the like Savage Dragon, becomes yeah, a cop. When a dragon becomes a cop, event. That's something that happened.
I mean, I've read books. That's happened in Chicago.
But,
I'm so sorry.
So, like, Devil in the White City takes place.
Oh, it's him. Okay.
Yeah, that's one of the main ones that, mm-hmm. that people recognize. The World's Fair, there was a serial killer, the H.H. Holmes, the serial killer mm-hmm. at the World's Fair.
Yeah.
It takes place there and is about that. Thunderstruck, which is takes place. There's a murder on board the ship where Marconi, he invented the wireless communicator, and it was being tested on that ship, and so a murder takes place on that ship, and so it's got like history in there, and he's got one with Tesla in him, which is why that it made me think of it. So they're very interesting books, with enough real history to keep it interesting and enough fantasy to be
interesting,
not just a documentary. Yeah.
So it's kind of like what's his name did the Da Vinci Code style things,
right? But these aren't shit, because the difference with the Da Vinci Code things is that they're terrible. And nothing in them is good. Also, nothing in them is true.
Sure.
These, at least, are incredibly tied to correct. Real things.
Yeah.
He didn't
Dan
just
Brown
say,
started there was with a fake historical event and then went off left field. This guy starts
and then
with,
where people now believe it's real, too.
Correct. Whereas Eric starts with real historical facts and then just weaves in a plot around that. But, like, half the stuff in them actually happens.
Right. Sure.
He's just filling in gaps with what if... This could have happened if these three things flipped to from A to B.
This is almost kind of similar to From Hell by crazy guy.
Frank Miller?
Yes. No, Frank Miller didn't do From Hell. Because, Rasputin's crazier brother. Big old beard and crazy eyes.
Oh,
he hates
Alan
everybody.
Moore.
Yeah. Alan Moore. But yeah, it's like From Hell by Alan Moore, where like all the facts in it, like the where's and the when's and the who's are all true, and then he... you know, weaves fictional things in to tie it all together.
Which reminds me, we need to take pictures for the podcast sometime for the cast so we can actually build a cast bio and stuff like that. I think we should all take pictures as if we were Alan Moore in that same
setup. Just, yeah, that, oh my Lord, that fucking
I don't know
job.
If I can go without shaving that long.
Just the crazy eyes. You just need the crazy eyes.
Okay.
But I still don't remember the second review, so I will go on to the third recommendation, which is... yeah, fucking Alan Moore. What a nut job.
Oh, shit. Who did I ran across a random Reddit argument. People talking about Alan Moore, and there was another guy who was fighting where they're talking about not only do these people hate each other, but they're like on opposite sides of the true magic debate and now hate each other for that as well. But it's another, it might be, no, it's not Frank Miller. It's another comic person. But they first hated each other for their work. Now they hate each other for their beliefs.
Double hate. At least they didn't like each other and now hate each other, right? It was just piling on.
Correct.
Castle Rock. It was on Hulu.
Oh, okay.
It was on Hulu. First season is done. It was 10 episodes. They already approved a second season, but they said it's going to be not necessarily – it's going to be a different storyline. Like, it's just going to be – it might take place still in Castle Rock or whatever, but it's going to be completely unrelated, although maybe tie in because Castle Rock is – it's based on Stephen King's stories, like plural, like they mention Cujo attacking people. They mention the events of The Shining, because there's a character who's the Torrance's like niece, and so that's what. Yeah, okay. Apparently Raylene says season two is going to take place in The Shining. But so if you're a Stephen King fan, there's all kinds of little tidbits and references. Like they mention the Needful Things store.
A bunch of people caught underneath a dome someplace?
I don't think they mention a bunch of people trapped under a dome, no. But they mention, they say the crazy dog, which assumedly is Cujo, although he does have three stories with crazy dogs in him. But the sun dog isn't like a real dog because he's trapped inside the Polaroid camera, so I don't know if that counts. Maybe I'm going too deep cut.
It's probably Cujo.
But it's Cujo. But anyway, and there's little lesser like tidbits like in the background. Like there was like a Claiborne's coffee shop, right? Which is just a little nod to Dolores Claiborne. And so that's the fun thing. But even barring all that, the story itself is just really good. It's 10 episodes long. It's short and sweet. It does start out very slow burn, and then episode 4 is when the slow burn hits the powder keg and explodes. And then episode 7 is really in the running for my favorite episode of any television show of the last decade. I fucking loved it. So it's 10 episodes long. You can binge it in a day on the Hulus. Highly recommend Castle Rock. It also has Bill Skarsgård, the guy who plays Pennywise in the shitty It movie that came out.
I heard it was good.
It wasn't shitty. It was aggressively mediocre.
Okay. I mean, you're also coming from folks that just enjoy Tim Curry's performances, Pennywise, more than...
Yeah, it was... my issues with the It thing is more just a lot of dumb boo moments, and dumb boo moments bore me in movies. You know, like you and I, when we went to Muppet Sex Crimes, and there was the trailer for The Nun, and it's like, oh, she jumped out. Boo. Yeah. Boo. Like, that's not interesting to me.
No, I was wrong. He was fighting with Frank Miller.
He was. Okay, that. God, that's two psychopaths right there. Fucking Frank Miller went off the deep end.
Went.
He started.
Reading his earlier stuff, knowing what happened, knowing what he Frank became, Miller. I'm pretty sure he was just better at. He just stopped hiding it.
Sure, Frank, I guess.
Frank was good at writing comics. Frank was horrible at writing anything else.
Man, no, he got bad at writing comics,
well,
too.
Actually,
fucking All-Star Batman and Robin, man.
Okay, yeah. we've already been down this road. Yeah. But, like, actually, one of his movies is actually not bad. It's probably Nathan and Mai's favorite of the series.
RoboCop 2?
Yeah.
Arctic Circle, no, it is not the guy who wrote Mouse. Alan Moore wrote Watchmen and other such things. League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
I worked on, I think it's Supreme with Rob Liefeld.
V for Vendetta.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean,
he has made many things that he has disavowed completely all movie productions of.
And unlike Frank Miller, Alan Moore is batshit insane, but everything he does is still amazingly good. Like, the only thing that I would say isn't necessarily amazingly good is, I think it was called Lost Girls.
Yeah, which is weird.
It's weird. I did love it. I respect him. Like, there was an interview, and someone was like, you know, this very potent story, and it has adult themes. Like, how do you approach a story like this and make it so thematic and heavy without it just being pornography? And his response was, it is pornography. I made pornography. This is porn.
Yeah.
And the interviewer's like, oh, okay. Yeah. He's like, nah, you're just supposed to jerk off. It's not deep. I just made porn. Mm-hmm. And they were not expecting that answer.
Correct. My problem with Alan Moore is his hatred of all things adaptations of his stuff, even though most of his stuff is adaptations.
Yeah, and frankly, most of the adaptations of his stuff are really good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, there's been a really mm-hmm. good, like...
The Watchmen, the movie, was a really good... Was the biggest a really complaint good was really the best faithful. That
they could well, do.
It was
yeah.
a really
most
faithful...
Most people's complaint with Watchmen is it's too faithful.
Yeah.
And I can never figure that one out.
I thought I really enjoyed it. Like, mm-hmm. And the one big plot change they made, you had to make, I really appreciated that. It's,
yeah. It also saved 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, if his worst adaptation might be From Hell, which says a lot, because that's still a perfectly decent film.
Yeah.
V for Vendetta is a pretty shitty adaptation, but it's a really good movie. You know, like, it's the most, like, I could see being pissed because they didn't
Correct.
Stay faithful.
But also,
but it's a really
Vendetta
good movie.
Also doesn't make sense unless you grew up in the 80s.
Correct.
It just flat doesn't work.
Right. Yeah, no, like pretty much every. Okay, yes, there is a really shitty Alan Moore movie. It's the one that Taube says he likes, which is League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
That film is notable for one thing.
It killed Sean Connery's acting career. And he was in it, like, didn't he turn down Gandalf?
Yes. Because of it.
He turned down Gandalf.
Yeah. I liked Hyde in that.
In fairness, him turning down Gandalf was a blessing in disguise.
I like the car chase through the streets of Venice.
Yeah.
To the cemetery.
Yeah.
Yes. Venice, famous for its large roadways and below ground graves.
Yeah.
That then blew up and flooded.
What the fucking fuck?
I like the C-Lab 2020 version of the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yes.
Quetzalcoatl.
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen is probably a
French guy.
It's a decently passable, dumb action flick to watch while drunk and or high, but it is the most precipitous drop in quality from the original source material.
Which are
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yeah. It's a popcorn.
Correct. Yeah. It also that was
it's like Van
that
Helsing.
Was the biggest series one too. So it's another one of those ones where there was just too much stuff that they couldn't fit. Because that one, unlike the rest of the stuff, isn't like one and done's.
I might like the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen movie more than I like the second League of Extraordinary Gentlemen graphic novel. The War of the Worlds one.
The League is weird.
The first one I love.
Yep.
Like, start to finish, the first League graphic novel. The second one just has some, like, spoilers. Hyde rapes the Invisible Man to death and then eats him. What?
I mean,
Alan Moore.
How'd you notice?
It's Alan Moore.
Because his corpse becomes visible after the fact, because apparently his magic powers don't work afterwards. So, like, while he's eating him, like, the table becomes gorier and gorier as the blood and viscera starts to become visible.
Mm.
It's like, okay, Alan, like, you're insane and you thought this would be really brutal. And it is brutal, but it's also not justified by the characters at all. And what?
Maybe I don't like Hyde as much anymore.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he's just channeling Frank Miller.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a very Frank Miller thing to do.
Frank has brought us.
Which one of the those two did Killing Joke?
That's Miller.
That's Miller.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, though, the Killing Joke, the adaptation of that is horrible as compared to the comic book. Because the comic book Killing Joke is really good.
Yeah.
Or the graphic novel of it. Yeah, the adaptation.
It's not a comic book, Mom. It's graphic novel. Mangas. It's my weeaboo impression.
All right. I guess we're done with recommendations. We're done with Zappity Grumbles. It feels like we've been here for 3 hours. It has only been an hour and 25.
Well, fuck you too.
Unless something's fucking happening. Well, fine.
Yeah, I'm glad to know that every moment with us is a waking nightmare that feels like eternity.
Yes.
No. We'll see you next week.
Oh, really?
No.
I said I was like pining for your presence. Like,
rude.
Throughout so many of the episodes previously.
Wait, wow, now he's just telling you guys you suck.
Andy, because of that, how much will you pay me not to bring up the word?
What word?
The word.
I don't remember the word.
Nate, tell us about Gwent.
Oh, actually, so this was really cool.
Where's the button?
They did something this last... So when Homecoming comes out, they're going to mill everybody's... accounts, just every card you have, they're going to mill, and they're going to mill for face value. So every card you have, you'll be able to make into any card of the same rarity. So that's super cool, super generous.
And the only thing you can do to keep people playing until such a flip.
Sure, to make these cards worth it, right? Because you're stocking up. So like right now, nobody's milling any of their extra cards because you can mill now for 10% of face value, or you can wait a month and get, you know, 10 times as much. But what they just did on Wednesday or Thursday, for 24 hours, every keg you open... So the way that Gwent's card kegs work is the first four cards are random, and then the fifth one, you get a choice of three cards, and then you pick the one you want, which is really neat, instead of just getting five random cards like most places do. But what they did was, for that 24 hours, every keg you opened, that choice card was guaranteed to be the rarest rarity that exists, like a gold card, the highest thing. Mm-hmm. There were people that had like 200 fucking kegs they were waiting to open. So like literally, I think now just by the fact that I had like 40 or 50 kegs that I opened, come Homecoming, I'm guaranteed I can just make a full collection of the instant it comes out because I have so many fucking gold cards. Because every gold card you can grind and make like 10 bronzes out of it.
So you'll complete whichever faction you want.
All factions.
Or all the factions. Literally. And have a bunch of other stuff.
I guarantee I will be able to have full maximum usable of every card in the game the instant Homecoming drops because of how much...
Was that good or bad?
I mean, it's convenient. The only decision I have now is that, like, the animated cards cost twice as much to make, so I have to decide... Like, if I can make one third of the card, like, if I have enough left over to make a third of the cards animated, I have to pick which ones to do it with.
What color is your Siri one going to be?
Huh? Holy shit. Oh, my God. Man, did I stare into the abyss of Eastern European racists in that thread? I didn't even link the thread, but I took some I think I posted some pictures. Yeah, I posted the pictures. Yeah. Jesus, fuck. There are no black people in medieval Europe. Okay, sure thing.
Wow. My favorite response to that is the guy who wrote The Witcher is involved in that project and apparently is a complete ass towards anyone changing his material.
And he still supports it.
Correct. He demanded complete casting control and he's fine with the decision.
Yes.
Yeah. So at that point, I'm like, I don't care anyways, but I have zero complaints at this point.
If they make her black, they'll have to make everyone in that kingdom black. Why? Alexander Dumas was black. Is every French person black? Like, this makes no sense. And they're like, oh, if you make her black, you have to make her dad black. She's adopted. She's fucking adopted. It's a huge plot point.
But it's not the plot point that lets me be a racist.
No, he's not racist. They're just accurate to the source material because reasons.
So made up vaguely Poland.
Oh, my God. And these are the same fucking people who say it's not a big deal when you have Scarlett Johansson play a Chinese woman. Right? They'll be like, she's the better actress. Give her the role. But
of course she's better than she's but, white.
Yeah. But at the same, yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's the other thing, though, too, is like the creators of Ghost in the Shell said, yeah, that's perfectly fine. Yeah. They were all for it.
But the creators were wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh.
No, what was the other movie she was going to do, and then they pulled her out of after that? Shit, I can't remember.
Well, there's the one with the gal that played, it was, I remember a yellow plane in it.
I don't know. I thought the best case of that was in Doctor Strange. When they recast the ancient ones, like, oh, that's vaguely racist. And like, no, it's just hyper greedy because if they made the ancient one Tibetan, like he is in the comics, they couldn't show it in China, and that's a big market for movies.
Yep. Yeah.
And the only defense of that is at least there was a reason besides, you know, being right. A shithead. Yeah.
I'm kind of curious why.
And then there's Iron Fist, which is just kind of like an homage to whitewashing.
No. Iron Fist is not white Russians. The Iron Fist is not whitewashing.
It is
he has
the
always
fact-
been a, as a white guy.
Yeah, no, that's the point.
It's not whitewashing. Yeah. It's white man's burden. See, it's how white people are better at everything than the actual native cultures who invented it.
Yeah,
that's what Iron Fist is all about. He's better at kung fu than the Tibetan, Chinese, whatever monks
taught him. That was one of the things.
Because white people are the
best. If you replace that with karate, that might be true because, you know, karate is more... Most of the karate stuff these days is not actually historically accurate.
Did you play Neo?
So he knew his shit, though.
Also, there's no karate in the Karate Kid movie starring Jaden Smith or whatever his name is.
Oh, the second Karate Kid?
Yeah. There's no karate in it. Why didn't they just call the movie The Kung Fu Kid or have him learn karate? Why did they make a movie called The Karate Kid and then have the kid learn kung fu?
Yeah.
The fuck?
The fucking Cobra Kai show is so good, though, too.
So, Nathan, did you play Neo? Neo, the...
Oh, the Samurai Dark Souls. Basically. Yeah. No, I did not.
Okay, because that was I started playing it, and I realized it's like, wait a second. And so the whole plot of this is that a white dude washes up on the shore of Japan and just picks up a samurai sword and is better than everyone else.
Correct.
But it's a Japanese game made by a Japanese company.
Well, you know, again, catering to the audience that's going to give them money.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, the round eyes will eat this shit up. They saw that movie with the crazy Scientologists. They'll play this.
God, that rant makes me movies, sad though. That John's given up a War Machine.
Aw.
I won't be able to hear another one of his rants.
That crazy Scientologist does act very well in films. Dude,
he is good. Fuck.
Also, he has a great Twitter handle because he's, you know, part of his Twitter profile has, you know, been running in movies for like 40 years.
What's his? Oh, yeah. Not his handle though. The profile, the bio.
Yeah.
He.
Oh, he's been running to movies for 40 years.
All he does is run directly towards the camera. That's what he's all about. His T-1000 weird run. Really, Nine Rented Upgrade. That movie's pretty good.
Yes.
Yeah.
We saw it without you.
Yeah, I know. Thanks.
Gornis says they can go for a White Russian or a Blind Russian. Being able to go for a Blind Russian right now is kind of like how Crippled System works.
Yeah. We're always okay to go for a Blind Russian.
Yeah.
And you've made this far.
I had one last night at some weird bar in Chicago that I had to teach them how to make it.
Like I said, you can just order a mudslide. It's pretty much the same thing.
No, sounds much better when you say Blind Russian, because then they're like, what?
Sure.
You say mudslide, they're like, oh yeah, I know what that is. That's a foo-foo drink.
It's I want a flaming drink. Rum punch, heavy on the cinnamon, light on the cloves. I think I got that slightly wrong, but that's what Clarence orders before he's thrown out of the bar in It's a Wonderful Life.
Never seen it.
So he's seen about 60% of it.
He's never seen It's a Wonderful Life?
Nope.
That is one of those classics that's legitimately good.
It's a classic that's on my television every year at Christmas time that I'm like, no, I don't want to watch. I'm going to watch A Christmas Story instead.
Yeah, less now because Christmas Story, they do the 24-hour loop of it. It used to be because It's a Wonderful Life was public domain because somebody fucked up.
Yeah.
And so it was public domain, and so it was on every channel 20 times a day every year. And then NBC got the rights to it. So now they just show it like once or twice.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
It's really good.
Like Miracle on 34th Street? No.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
Actually, I know.
It's Wonderful Life. It's better.
Yeah, it is. It is. Because it's not, I mean, the end, you know, it does the pull on the heartstrings at some points, but it's a dark fucking movie. Yeah, like, it actually flopped when it came out, and part of it's just because it is a depressing film.
Does it got spaghetti and maple syrup in it?
Yeah, it might. Probably. In various aspects in the background, people might be eating it. I know there's an Italian family buying a house. They might have spaghetti.
With maple syrup, though.
No, not with maple syrup. Oh, okay. But there might independently be maple syrup elsewhere. Somebody hits a tree. If that's a maple tree, sap would be coming out, which is kind of like syrup.
So you have like the noodle maker who's driving his truck, hits a maple tree.
Yeah.
You could have maple syrup in.
Yeah. You sure could.
Just hit the button already.
Raylene puts maple syrup on her mac and cheese, and every time she does it, I think about divorcing her.